Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Michaela, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that I invited you to come on the podcast. You said before we got started, it was because I emailed you and asked you to come on that you came on. You listen to a lot of podcasts, like you found me through a podcast. How did you get into podcast listening and how did you first find Organize 365?
I started listening to podcasts. I really like the idea of having that mobile university. So anytime I'm mobile, walking, running, driving, whatever, folding laundry, right? Anytime that my hands or whatever is otherwise engaged, I still like for my brain to be engaged. And so if it's not going to be music, then it's podcasting so I can be learning. So at the time, I still am a big fan of Gretchen Rubin, Laura Vanderkam, and then I just told you, I'm a registered dietitian. And so my friend, Reagan Jones, who's also a dietitian, has a podcast and you were a guest on her podcast. And that is how I found Organize 365.
Yes, I like her podcast. I guess I didn't really realize she was a registered dietitian because she just talks about, this unmillennial life. And I just love any of those podcasts that are about midlife and just what's coming down the pike. Please tell me what's coming down the pike.
Yes, absolutely. And, the way you framed up the different seasons and stages of life that women face and just sort of giving women the permission, because I have worked from home since 2006. And I now can look back over this time because I didn't always work from home in my career. And I could look back over it and understand that I was crafting that out of a desire to be able to have the best of both worlds and to be able to do both with excellence and all of that flexibility, not balance, because balance is not a thing.
Right.
That's not a real thing. But just being able to sort of craft the life that I thought would work best to fulfill, all of those roles that I wanted to do with excellence. And so hearing you talk about the stages on Reagan's podcast and understanding, you call it survival phase. I call it the crucible. That's where you got kids going every direction and you want them so engaged and involved, but there is no one to drive them but you.
Yes.
Right. And having a husband very involved with his job and then a business on the side and knowing okay, it's just me. So hearing you talk about that and then just really giving permission to, attack that in the way, that you feel is best and, let some other things go. It's just so refreshing. And I was hooked. So I hit that subscribe button and went back and binged a bunch of old ones. And so here I am, Sunday basket and all of this later.
Well, I find it so, work-life balance is what you and I heard growing up. Like that was the term that we heard. That's what we were striving for. And yet, when we all hit, late 30s, early 40s, none of us did work-life balance. But I think the seed that work-life balance planted in my head was you can have both. And there's a way to balance it. Now, we've proven that it's not balanced, but we held on to that you can have both. And we all kind of figured out a way to have what both meant for us. So that we were happy with our career and happy with our home life at the same time. But I think I feel my entire life, maybe this is just a Gen Xer thing. Like my entire life, I'm either apologizing for what I've chosen or I'm giving you the reasons why I've chosen what I've chosen. Like, okay, I decided, we stopped vaccinating our children, but I did get the COVID vaccine. And here's why. Like, I have to make justifications for both. It can't be one or the other. And you're always kind of like explaining to everybody else what you've done so they could say, okay, good job. Like, it's approved. You're allowed to do that. And the older I get, the more I realize nobody really cares what you're doing. They're just trying to figure out what they're doing. And we're all looking for someone to say to us, okay, you've thought it through. Way to make a choice for yourself. Like, good job getting as much home and work balance as you can. And that's what this is going to look like this day, this week, this month, this year, this decade. Like, and you can change, you can pick again. It's okay.
Well, and I think so much of what you're saying absolutely resonates. But for me, it's through that lens of knowing that my love language is words of affirmation. Mine so yes, too. My whole life, I want someone to give me an attagirl. And I've learned, yes. Baby, I can give myself the attagirl. I can say, good job, Michaela. You are crushing it. You're killing it. So yeah, that's very freeing.
I do think it's you want other people to say you've done a good job. Like mine is words of affirmation as well. Like,
yes,
I want to hear people say you've done a good job.
I need it. Just give it to me.
And so then I end up walking around telling everybody, you're amazing. You're fantastic.
And I get that, right? So that's how I try to give them. And I've had to learn, like, sometimes people perceive that as, she's just Pollyanna. She just gives praise.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's like, No, that's how I feel love. And so sometimes I forget that that's not how you feel love. And so I'm loving on you, but you don't, you know,
yes,
that whole conversation.
Totally.
But I think, again, on the back end, just remembering, like, that is, you know, I can give myself the words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. I don't have to leave that in someone else's pocket. I don't have to wait for it. Like, I really can say, yep, I thought it through. Great job.
Okay. I'm going to think about that again tonight, because mm-hmm. I think I have started doing that. Mm-hmm. Plus the podcast audience is so great. They know that my love language is words of affirmation. So I do get it from Instagram messages and these podcast interviews and my team. And so I've created an environment where I get this. When I did direct sales, when my kids were younger and I was working from home, what we found with a lot of people on our teams and that came to direct sales parties is that's what primarily the women there were going for was a attaboy. Mm-hmm. You've done a good job. Like, they spent their whole days doing often working from home, taking care of children, volunteering, and they weren't hearing those accolades. And for a lot of people, direct sales is where they first hear those, or they get to have that, you know, star, or they add something to their pin that they have in their company. And it really is an encouragement and motivator for so many women, especially in their 20s and 30s.
Yes. I also sold jewelry direct sales in my 30s, in addition to my full-time job. And I crushed it and had a full-time income with that and my job. But then the company went out of business. And so, you know, that was just another point that, you know, resonated. And I was like, okay, Lisa really gets it. You know, we're twinning.
Yes.
Right, just with a lot of things. So, yeah.
So who lives with you in your household?
So right now, my husband will... 23 years married in July. And I have a daughter who is going to be a freshman in high school in the fall. So we're currently figuring out, are we going to the public school? Are we going to the charter school? You know, all of those decisions that need to be made. And I have a freshman son at Clemson University. And so he's intermittently with us. We're adjusting to that.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, I don't even care that we're a year into the pandemic. It's still so weird, isn't it? Like, it's just so unusual. I don't think we'll ever get used to it. And I think that school, like, businesses decide what they're going to do and you kind of follow whatever the business owner or the company's lead is. But the school issue, like, for everyone who has school age kids from college all the way down to daycare, it's just a day by day, week by week, constant. Like, you mentioned charter schools, and I'm like, well, I know a lot of public schools that are now going to keep their online even after they go back to in person. Mm-hmm. So will charter schools be a thing? Like, you know, like, will that now be an option? I was talking to a whole bunch of educators yesterday about where they see things going and how we could support educators being organized. Mm-hmm. And it is, I mean, the Wild West free for all. You're going to see a lot of different, you know, every state does their education differently.
That's right.
And as we saw, every state does a lot of things differently. So I think you're probably going to see a lot of new education models coming out in the next 10 years, spurred on by, you know, what the resources are in the state, what the population is in the state, you mm-hmm. know, the diversity and inclusion that we already knew as educators we needed to address. But now with the pandemic, not having kids at school created even bigger gaps. Mm-hmm. And it's just... whenever you think you have a little bit of normalcy, if you have kids under the age of 25, like it's that school issue that is just the constant wild card. And yeah. I would think you're always second guessing yourself because there is no like, well, here's what the scientific study says. No, we're experimenting. We're just doing a whole bunch of eighth grade science experiments with your kids.
Yeah. And you know, you get as a parent, I guess you get, it is a huge responsibility, but I consider it also the great luxury. Having worked in education in part of my career, I was on the school nutrition side of it. So I was feeding all those thousands of children. Mm. And I understand the framework when you are making decisions for thousands.
Yep.
It's very different when I'm making a decision for my daughter, because I now have the luxury of considering only what she needs, mm-hmm. what is best for her. And I, you know what I mean? And so I can look at all the options and just look for her. Whereas when you're on the administration end of a system like that, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, you don't have the luxury of thinking about the one. You've got to do what is going to create the most good for the most people. And it won't make everyone happy. It's just not a possibility. So I have a big heart for education and educators, whether they're public, private, charter, homeschool, whatever it is, like God bless all of you and God bless the children, you know. And we're all doing what we can.
You know, it was a very small group that was having the discussion with me, and they were talking about, you know, there are going to be these discrepancies in education for certain populations, for whatever. And one of the other educators voiced what I have been saying. Yes, but they're learning other skills we never used to teach. And they're learning different things now than they ever would have before. Mm-hmm. And learning, like we started this, you found me because you're a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. And you were listening to podcasts because you want to be learning. Like mm-hmm. learning doesn't only happen in school, and learning doesn't only happen at certain times in your life. Like pretty much anybody that listens to a podcast is a lifelong learner. Anybody listening to this just wants to get a different perspective, learn a little bit more, have different questions that they're asking inside of their mind to make decisions. So if you, and that's more the Montessori philosophy, like if you just look at life as a learning experience, then it is, well, what are we learning during this season? And how does that apply to each age group?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's the name of the, you know, a phrase that I kept using, adapt and overcome. And that's, you know, that's what we've done. And I think you have to do it. You have to figure out what that's going to look like in each area of your life, your home life, your work life. I mean, this time last year, I certainly was going into the freezer at 2 a.m. for ice cream. you know,
did you hear people have gained 25 to 30 pounds during the pandemic? 2 to 3 pounds a month.
Floored.
Yeah.
And you know, and it'll take some work to
it's killing you as a dietitian, isn't it?
It made me feel better about my 5 pounds. And then I've since, you know, kind of righted the ship and gotten better. It's strange. And I remember that being one of the pre-questions was, you know, what's happened since I started these efforts with the workbox and whatever that I wasn't planning on. And certainly COVID was one of those things, but again, it's just whichever area, whether it's home or work or mm-hmm. whatever you're doing, it's okay. This is our reality today. And what are we going to do today about what's in front of us? And just sort of that one day at a time, one step at a time. But I think that there's value in that. And I know that it worked because my own team at the end of last year acknowledged, they actually, this is, I know the audience can't see it, but I'm wearing this bracelet that they gave me. And it says shine on the outside, and they know I love joy. So, mm-hmm. and it says you outshine 2020. That's what the inscription says. And so I don't care if my, you know, accessories for the day are gold. This silver bracelet is still going on because, see, it's my love language, right? They affirm that the way that we work together to overcome our challenges and our obstacles, and just kept that positive mindset and one step in front of the other. Hey, I think we can still hit this goal. Hey, what if we tried this? I think we could still get there. We don't have to just lay down and accept that, you know, this conference isn't going to happen. What's a new way to do it? And mm-hmm. With zero outside training and zero additional budget, we still got it done. And, you know, for us, like that's for our farmers, right? That's for our dairy farmers that we work on their behalf. And so it was just very meaningful for me to have them affirm that. It's like, oh my gosh, yes. And it reminds me to like show up every day as the best version of myself, because it really does impact other people.
Well, and I love that you say that, and that words of affirmation are literally on your wrist every day, because I think that the pandemic has been horrific and many people have lost their lives, have lost their livelihoods. So much tragedy has happened. Mm-hmm. And yet so many blessings. I mean, so many babies mm-hmm. were born. People still got married. People's businesses got started or thrived. And I think that because the pandemic is so awe, you're in such awe that we're still living through this. And we're so cognizant of our experience is not necessarily the experience of the person next to us. Mm-hmm. And we need to be mindful of that and careful and always thinking about how whatever we do is being perceived or other people are internalizing what we are saying. Like walking on eggshells is like, if I had to define 2020 and 2021 and maybe the rest of my life, like right now, I feel like everything is trying to filter everything you're saying through 20 different lenses before you actually say it. And mm-hmm. if your words of affirmation are your love language, we really cut out words of affirmation in 2020, because possibly that's going to be insensitive to somebody else who overhears it yep. or someone else who's, that's not their reality. And so even if you did achieve your goals and you overcame and you succeeded and you grew, you didn't tell anybody. And nobody really called it out because, well, that's nice that you succeeded, but so many didn't. You know, it's kind of like you felt guilty.
You do. Yeah. You have a little guilt with that. But, you know, as I talk to you today, it's like summer starts in April here in South Carolina.
All right. I'm moving.
Shots are going in arms every day. And mm-hmm. I just feel so much positive energy and momentum. And yes, there's still uncertainty, you know, with our work and how we'll be doing things, especially since a lot of the work that I do involves schools, but we're moving forward.
Yeah.
Together forward. That's our phrase.
We need to focus on the positive and the good. What is possible does not mean that we negate the reality of situations and that there is inequity in the world, but we need to have people who are an example of overcoming and, yeah. So I'll just leave it there.
You have to overwhelm all of that with excellence. That's the only thing.
No one has a perfect life. No one has a perfect life. And everybody has been dealt a different hand, but it doesn't mean that, I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. I know that we all can learn and do and become more than we are today. Like that's the whole thing. Like I'll be learning until the day I die. Like I always want to be a little bit better tomorrow than I was yesterday.
That's it. And that's why I ordered your workbox.
Okay. So why did you order a workbox? Why did you decide to get started organizing? Like, so you rabbit trailed over to the podcast, then what happened?
Yeah. Well, first I ordered a Sunday basket and I moved houses twice.
Oh, wow.
And you don't hear all of that. So that was huge. And you didn't have workboxes actually when I found you, but you did have the Sunday basket. So when I did the first move, I was thinking about a Sunday basket, but I was like, I'm going to wait until I get moved. Then I'll order my Sunday basket, because honestly, that's just one more thing to move. Got set up with that, got that working, felt like that system was working well. And then you launched workboxes. So when you were describing that, having already had a background with the Sunday basket, it made sense to me. And I thought, I could use a workbox because I have a lot of energy. And I think that for me, I kind of traditionally have always relied on the fact that I have a really big, big brain and a lot of energy, and I could just sort of carry everything
yep.
up there and in there and get a lot done. And I mean, just woo, running loop-de-loops, high-fiving. Yeah, woo, we got that. I don't know. I just always, Energizer Bunny was what our old CEO like used to call me. But it was kind of chaotic on the back end, right? Maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, the people who were leading me or supervising me at that time, like knew that, understood that. But maybe I didn't have that self-awareness at the time. And so what I knew that the workbox could do was help put some structure around all of that energy and help me plan better and be even more productive, and just more systematic. You know, I do crave systems. I really do. I love a good system and a process. So I thought, oh, this is good. This will give me that for work.
It's so interesting that you mentioned about being high energy and being able to manage so much in your brain at one time. So there are, you know, the executive function of your brain, which is where ADHD is diagnosed, is being able to hold a lot of things in your head and remember them all is your working memory. And your working memory is actually shows up on an IQ test. So if you have an IQ test done in school and the working memory is low, sometimes that'll be a referral to a doctor to see if there's an ADHD diagnosis. So your working memory is actually a number that you can get on your IQ test. My working memory is really high. So I could keep a lot of things in my head at one time. And then because I could do that, I can make synergies between them, which allow me to create like new baby ideas in my brain. And there's just so yes. much in there. And like you, I have two speeds, awake and asleep. There is nothing in the middle. Like, I don't understand this rest time. I'm doing a puzzle while I'm watching TV. I'm listening to a podcast while I'm cleaning the house. Like, I am task stacking everything. I don't yes. monotask anything at all. And so because I have this high energy and this ability to hold so many things in my brain at one time, just like you, I didn't have to write it all down for a long, long time. One of the things writing it down into work boxes, which I first did in my direct sales business, was allowed me to delegate better. And it allowed me to see the process I was going through internally in my head so I could train team members to do the same thing in a systematic way that was not overwhelming versus just giving them random pieces of information. I was allowed to download them all, put them in an order and be like, okay, I'm going to delegate the first part of this, then the second part until I delegated the entire project over to someone else over time. So I love that you say that because the workbox really grows with you as you continue to use it. And helps you free your brain for more synergistic thoughts. But if you struggle with working memory and have a diagnosis of ADHD, this will help you see the pieces in front of you versus remembering only pieces and parts instead of the entirety of what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think it's your education background that allows you to like piece that together and teach it. Because I totally understood. Like when I was doing direct sales, I can't remember the gal's name, Sherry something. She had a system called the Power Hour. No, Belinda.
Oh, Belinda Ellsworth.
Yes.
Yes. Totally love Power Hour. Come on, you guys. Who are my Power Hour people out there?
Power Hour. Like yes. that was genius. I was like, oh, this is genius. Yes. And I used that system, but I couldn't codify it or whatever that word is, you know, like I couldn't figure it out, like how to do it in other parts of my life. You know, I mean, I would try to adapt that, but it never, I don't know, that just never really worked for me in like a corporate setting, because I guess there were just too many things swirling. You know, when you're running your direct sales business and it's like, okay, it's bookings, it's
right.
actually putting the orders in and then whatever the team needs, like it's pretty simple. I thought.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I loved it. Loved that movie. But
yeah. And I think that's something that I've noticed over time is that all of the, like, maybe it's the way we grew up. Like you picked, I'm going to be a school teacher. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a dietitian. I'm going to be whatever. And then you learned that thing.
Yes.
But the more that I explore multiple careers and multiple businesses, I'm like, oh, it's just a commonality amongst any industry, even running your house is run the same way. If you just make those buckets a little bit bigger and change the name of them, everything's a four-step process. Everything, everywhere is a four-step process.
Mm-hmm. And it finally clicked. Like I did not sign up for Workbox Planning Day until, what time did that meeting start? Was it 9 a.m.? I probably signed up at 8:30.
You're lucky because we cut off registration. You got in right under the wire there.
I just signed up for the subscription. I think like on the last day, because I have to think about it. You know, I was like, am I going to do this? I'm not using the planner. So I was like, I don't know, you know, anyway. But I signed up for that. And then hearing that on Workbox Planning Day, I think that was the first time I really understood how I could have been using my Workbox differently, you know, cause you do encourage, like when you get it, don't worry too much about the colors and the types and all of that and how things are going to move through the workbox. Just kind of get going with it. Well, I did that. Well, part of my responsibilities are working with NFL clubs. But at the time when I got my Workbox, I only had the one club. And I was like, well, obviously they have to be blue. Like everything to do with this team needs to be blue. And I built my Workbox around like around that. It wasn't really as well thought through as it could have been, but it's because I truly didn't understand about, you know, how to move things through, you know, the pink possibilities and then purple operations and then blue, anything to do with team. And at that time I didn't have a team. It was just me, you know? But yes, my Workbox has grown with me. So I got the Workbox in November. I took that first promotion in March of, you know, the following
Congratulations.
Year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then I had to blow my Workbox up because, except I wasn't smart about it and I didn't know. And I immediately made a bunch of binders because I thought, okay, I'm going to have binders now. That never worked. I mean, I don't think that even lasted 2 weeks. And I, you know, had all these beautiful things set up. And it really does come back to like, it's got to go in the box. It's got to fit in the box. And then now after this last Workbox planning day, looking at the lens of, okay, now I'm not just leading my team. I actually have leaders who are leading teams.
Wow.
And trying to figure out, you know, I mean, I'm still figuring out this new level and I'm sure my box will have to be adjusted, but we're getting there. And I work in my master, just like you can see behind me, just like you did for years and years and years. And I spread it all out on my bed and sort it. But this time around, I really understood from the planning day how I could set this up in a way to help move things through. Like every typical corporate person that you talk about, I do have too many purples, but I also have a lot of blues that I can work through to get those things done. So I'm not completely alone and all of that as those sea of purple slash pockets. So I'm just excited to see, you know, how this is going to come together and work. And I am signed up for the next Workbox planning day
because
I know I'll learn even more.
What Workbox did you get?
I got the corporate because that was the option that was available. This that would have been 2018 when I ordered it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so have you logged in yet to see the course that's now in there instead of just the few videos?
I did because the planning day was actually a work day for me. So I would like pop in and see like, I don't know, 5-8 minutes. And I actually heard that part. So then on another day, I knew I was going to get the reef. So I was like, let me go in and see these new videos. And, you know, yeah, I did sort of piece all of that together. And yes, the law of the lid is the perfect way to explain how, you know, it was limiting and thinking that you needed a playbook for every different. I mean, that's just not doable. I mean, it's not like now it makes so much sense, right? But I can understand how when we had that realization, like it's so freeing. It's one box.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier that I was talking to some educators in a small group, and I just said with Michaela that we have a new course. So we are in the messy middle right now of going from the old 8 workboxes that we had to what eventually will just be 2 workboxes by the time we're done, but it'll take us 18 months. When we get to July, what you're going to find is the Friday workboxes will now be a business workbox or a teaching or homeschooling workbox. And that business workbox, doesn't matter which one you buy today, you could buy a corporate one, direct sales, whatever you want. You're going to end up in this business course. We've already created the course. And about half the videos are in there. I have a list of more videos to make, and we're editing some of those videos because they are from 2018. So some of them are a little bit outdated, but a couple more changes are coming down the pike. The price will be increasing in July. We're going to have a couple more additional colors of slash pockets you'll be able to buy to go with your workbox. And the workbox will actually say Friday workbox by the time we get to July, but it won't happen before then. So we're in the process of changing over this whole workbox. And as I said, in planning day, what we realized was we either had to make like 89 more workboxes for every single kind of business there was, or we're just going to say, okay, I have a job that makes money. That's a business workbox. And truly every business starts as an entrepreneurial business and becomes a corporation. So the idea that those go together makes more sense. So right now, if you're listening to this real time, Michaela, stop laughing at me.
Breaking news. This is how news gets broken on the podcast. I was like, whoops.
And the team is probably like, oh, she went rogue again. Luckily, Mary will listen to this before it goes live. She'll be like, newsflash, customer service. Lisa has said this on the podcast. It's coming out on this date. And these are the questions you're now going to get in customer service because Lisa just can't keep a secret or anything. But we want to do the same thing with the teaching and homeschooling workbox. It will become an education workbox. It will also incorporate people who are professors and work at universities, students that are at the college level or PhD or medical students, but that will not be until summer of 2022 because, Michaela, you and I can have lots of ideas and we can be, you know, little Energizer bunnies all over the place. But the people that work with us maybe are not Energizer bunnies and they are working as fast as they can. And also our big idea that we could communicate in 30 minutes takes them like 100 hours to implement.
That's right.
And we're already articulating the next idea. So I'm learning that this is going to take a little bit longer, but the business workboxes will be out in July and then we'll work on something for educators next summer. We'll offer CEUs, we'll offer PD time for teachers. It's going to be really, really amazing, but we need some time to put it together.
Yes, yes, yes. Just do it. Just get your workbox and get going. That's all I'll tell you.
Get it. Well, you know, if you buy it now, you're always going to get whatever the upgrade is. Like, I'm not going to charge you more or deny you whatever new information is coming out. So you heard it here. Get it before July of 2021 at the original price.
That's right.
So what has happened since you started on this journey of getting organized that you did not expect to happen?
Well, you know, we alluded to COVID, obviously. I mean, I think that rocks the foundation of everyone's world. And, you know, in addition to my full-time job and my husband's full-time job, we have a business. It's an LLC and it's a timing and data business for track and field and cross country. And we lost our entire calendar of business for spring. And I had to call Paycheck and say, you know, stop payroll. And, you know, hang up the phone and cry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all of those things. And yet still within the lens of like, we're all happy and healthy. And so that's, you know, the most important thing. And I know that not everyone, people lost a lot more, you know, than just money. Because ultimately at the end of the day, that's what it is. But it is important for us, right? That's how I'm paying for my kids' college. So, you know, just kind of a big deal. But then, you know, like we talked about, just all of the blessings. Because I had a work box, I could come in and have that structure to the workday when we didn't know. It's like, okay, schools are shutting down. Are we about to get furloughed or laid off? Okay, well, let's get busy figuring out how we can still be of service and of value. And my workbox helped me, you know, maintain that even while everything in the personal life, like I couldn't go grocery shopping because the shelves were empty and there was no toilet paper. But I did have ice cream to eat it too. But I could come into work and try to have some, you know, not normalcy, but at least some structure, something I could lean on, if that makes sense. That I knew, you know, was going to be there to support me, even though we were changing our processes and changing everything. I had a way to house that and have structure with it. And that gave me enough calm and comfort to still be a good leader during that time. And that's just so important.
Yeah, I am looking forward to hearing how leaders got through second quarter of 2020. Like eventually there will be books and there will be movies and I will read everyone to hear what other leaders did and employees. Like my employees were the same exact way. They were all like, okay, we're at home. What can we do from home? Like, how do we, it was only a week in and there were two of them that said, we're fine. We're going into the office to do shipping. Cause I mean, when you're shut down, like, are you essential? Are you not essential? Like it's a Sunday basket. So we read the law and we're like, okay, under these four different classifications, we can be deemed essential. And so we would just send one person in at a time. And literally remember that was way back when, where we thought that the virus would live on metal for 3 days. So we would go in on Mondays and then ship on Thursdays. And that was it. And no one was in any of the other times. And you know, because we did not, there's so much unknown. And yet if we stopped shipping, there would have been no organized 365 by now. Like we had to keep it going.
Right. That's exactly right. We had to figure out what we could do to keep it going. You know, you got to do what you can with what you have, where you are. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow you wake up and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the next day after that, you know, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the stories eventually that come out will be really inspiring to hear how different teams came together. And I think everyone had to become proactive, because if you were just reactive, you just ended up at home. And, you know, everybody was at home, so who's going to reach out? And it, a lot of people really were like, okay, well, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And for their entire life, they were never that way. But now they're like, well, I've just got to do, like, I've just got to do something. So yeah. Those stories, I'm looking forward to hearing those stories as they start to come out.
Yeah. And I didn't anticipate taking another promotion, but that became available. Yeah. And I just feel like I was set up to succeed for that because of the constant upgrades, you know, in mind shift and ability to think through these business concepts, you know, that I was positioned, right? hard work meets opportunity, and then, you know, there you go. And it's interesting, some of the things that we're talking about now, I know that we're working with a firm and they're putting together what they're calling project charters. And I'm like, these are our rocks, but we have to figure out if they're going to be discovery, pilot, or scale, like where in it. And already I can think, so discovery, yep, that would be pink. So we're kind of thinking about it, looking into it. Then it would turn into a purple / pocket for me to figure out what is the pilot, or it could be a team member.
Yep.
And then if we scale it, it's going to turn into a purple for everyone. Now, my team doesn't use this system, but I have the framework. I know, right? But I have the framework.
Michaela will be the next certified organizer in North Carolina.
Oh, I know. I've listened. I've heard all the, you know how I like waiting button. I just haven't clicked that
button. We're waiting. We're opening up the certification at the end of May, and then the Workbox certification. So there's a pilot group that's going through it right now, but you'll be able to be Workbox certified coming in July.
And I have an LLC, like, trust me.
Just saying, it's just a perfect, just perfect for you to just join the sisterhood.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will say I'm a solid think about it.
All right. I'll take it. I will take it. That is not a no. Yeah. You have to explicitly say no for me to hear no. You know, right?
I do. I was in direct sales too, Lisa. I
know. Monique, Michaela is a solid yes, maybe.
She's on the fence. She's one of those darn fence sitters. Yeah. I just have to evaluate, you know, well, this year, the energy demands are still higher, I think.
Right.
We're still not back to normal. And there's still a lot, just in flux. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the different stages, so I don't have one that will be adapting to college life, because obviously that was a huge transition. But I do have one moving to high school.
Yep.
And you know.
Yeah, but she's a girl.
I know, but she's a girl in my house. Like, I don't know what it's like in your house, but it's... This is a lot more involved.
She probably already has a planner. She's good.
No, she's not the firstborn. She's her own.
Okay. Total sidebar. So yeah. Abby is our second child, but she is the firstborn. And Joey is our first child, but he is the thirdborn in their birth lineage, you know, because they're adopted children. Abby, she was born with a planner. Like, she walks around with the planner. She's got all written down. Yeah. Like, yeah. Whiteboards for her work. She's all over it.
Yeah, this is not my reality.
So I have a second born that acts like a firstborn, and a firstborn in my family that acts like a third child. And I still want to do more research to find out if that's there's got to have been a study done on adopted children who have different birth orders in their adopted families than in their birth families. Yeah. And, you know, kind of like the nature versus nurture. This is where my brain goes, you guys. New research project for me this weekend on researching if there's been research about this.
Yep. Good times.
What do you think you have more of now?
Clarity. You know, I just have a better, better understanding of what the priorities are, how to tackle them, when to wave the white flag and say, oh my gosh, this deadline is not reasonable, or I actually don't have the resources, or my team doesn't have the resources to do what's being expected here. I have a lot more clarity with that because I'm not trying to carry everything around. You know, just because you have a big brain doesn't mean you should abuse it that way.
True. So,
yes. And so, and that's helpful because it's, you know, it's a better impact for my team as well. So I would just say a lot more clarity around, you know, what I can reasonably get done. And I love my Friday, like roundup process time, you know, just that time to go back and mop it up, clean it up, close every loop. This is a podcast forever ago. And you're like, guys, when you do this, you look so pro. Like that stuck in my head. And I started doing that. And honestly, I mean, the next time there was a chance for promotion, I got it. And I was like, because I look so pro. Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That Friday from 2 to 5, baby, that's where you go pro.
Yeah.
Either planning happy hour or you are getting ready for the next week and then enjoying happy hour.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even with all of the demands, I was walking on air, walking out of my home office, out of my master bedroom at 5 o'clock on this past Friday because the loops were closed and I knew it was under control and I knew what I had in front of me next week and I knew what I needed to focus on with my team and all of those things. And it just leads to greater fulfillment. Like if you're a person who likes to work and wants to work and you are excited and engaged in your job, when you get a hold of a tool or a system and you start realizing that these habits you put into place and these systems are stacking on each other and the progress continues to incrementally improve, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a lightning bolt, it's increments. And I look back, you know, over my shoulder, to where I was and I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Like this is so much better than feeling frazzled or like I have to rely on just this crazy energy that I have to always make it happen. Because what happens, you know, if you're sick, you mm-hmm. don't have the crazy energy or you're facing some kind of challenge, the energy mm-hmm. goes away or it's diverted somewhere. So this is just a much better way.
And don't you find like the systems and habits help you so much once they're established, mm-hmm. but to take the time to establish them is like, I don't have the time for this. I can't believe I'm undoing something that's quasi working for something that maybe will work better. Like it takes a lot to really invest in any new system or habit that you're doing, whether it's a workbox, a Sunday basket, email inbox zero, any of them. At first, they're like 10 times harder than the way you used to do it before they 10x the amount of time that you have to get things done.
The way that I have always coached my children around this issue is that you have to be willing to be bad at something before you can be good at it. Mm-hmm. So if it's piano or guitar or wrestling or, you know, learning a new event in track and field or learning cross country, you have to be bad at it before you can be good at it. And
love it.
I think as adults, sometimes we just aren't willing to accept yep. that, you know, but yeah, you gotta just fight like your way that. Through it.
What do you think you have less of?
You know, my knee jerk is to say stress, but that's not really true. Cause I think stress just happens, right? It's just all about how you respond to it. So I would say, what do I have less of? It's chaos. I just have less chaos. Because the stressors are still there, the inputs are still coming, the tide still rolls in and gets, you know, really high, but I don't feel as chaotic about it. So I guess, you know, I guess that's subjective, right? It's just how I feel about things, but how you feel about things really determines kind of your energy level. And I've learned like protecting my energy is so important. So yeah, I'm going to say I have less chaos.
I wrote that down. Podcast episode coming, the difference between stress and chaos. Because I think that you can say, you could call the same exact situation the same word, but it's how you are looking at it. Like, of course you have more stress. You have more responsibility. Like you've grown right. and you have more capacity. Mm-hmm. And stress is not always a bad thing.
No, stress helps us mm-hmm. meet deadlines. It helps us, you know, push those creative ideas out.
Yeah.
No, stress is a good thing. Stress is what builds muscles when you go lift weights. You stress yep. the muscle.
Shows you what you're capable of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. What do you wish that you had known sooner?
Probably. So the thing that I took away like when, during Workbox Planning Day, I know you had mentioned Gina Wickman and that traction book love earlier, it. But I had never added it to my reading list in Trello. But then this time around I did, and I was reading it in the evenings and just having one revelation. It's like when you put a key into a lock and all these tumblers were falling.
Yes.
Honestly, it's like I had whole new horizons open to me, and I could really see myself growing into that integrator role. I now understand, like, that's where I function best. So because I can produce so many.
Want to move to Cincinnati?
I don't know, girl.
Integrators are really hard to find, Miquella. If you end up going that route, man, you can write your ticket.
I don't know. It could be that I'm misunderstanding the role, right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. But I feel like I have such a good balance between I am creative and I have so many ideas, but I also crave systems and process and understand that all of those things are necessary to produce excellence, that that I do think I have it in me to grow into that.
So have you read Rocket Fuel and taken the integrator and visionary assessments yet?
Not yet. What I did do, though, was go to my boss and say, I just read this most amazing book, and I would like to order 4 copies for the people who are in leadership just in their department so that we could all have some language together around this. And then she loved the idea. And so we're actually going to put that into our professional development for the year, that each of us as leaders is to bring some suggestion to the table of what we could reasonably implement. We can't do it all. We can't do it all right now this year, but figure out what we can implement and how we're going to move forward with that. And then that'll be also part of our 2022 plans.
Yes. So also, since we're just on, I'm going to keep going. So the other book is called Get a Grip. Mm-hmm. So Get a Grip. Did you read that one?
No, but I heard you talk about it, that it's the story format.
It's the story format of Traction, which my brain just does so much better. Like, it's a great one also to listen to on Audible, like, as you're getting ready, because then you'll hear it implement. But having self-implemented Traction and then having an EOS implementer, so for like 18 months, I did it by myself. You already have a leadership team, which is so huge. Like, just even doing those quarterly leadership meetings, kind of like Traction does them, looking at all the things versus trying to do everything all the time. Yeah, I do love it. I do love
it. Yeah, I am so excited. You want to know what I have more of? I have excitement. Like, yay! Excited for the future, you know? I can't wait. Like, sometimes I can run late.
Well, this is why I got a treadmill, because I didn't want to go to the gym and I don't like to walk outside because I don't live in North Carolina. And I do find that when I get really excited, I'm like, okay, and I go walk in the treadmill. It's not all the time, but to get that energy out, like, there needs to be a place for it to go sometimes when I get so full of my own ideas. So yeah.
Yeah.
What is your next step now?
Next step. So let's see. Quarter one starts Thursday.
Yeah. By the time they listen to this, it might be almost quarter three. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
There's a delay. This is not a live.
What I would really like to get, as I look at my sea of purple pockets in my workbox, I don't know. I got to address that at some point and figure out, I mean, if it's going to stay that large, okay, cool. But what is going to be the better system, I guess, of prioritizing those? Like, I don't really have truly the 3 to 4. And I think part of that too is, not only am I new in my role, but the person leading me is new in her role. And it's because we all, like, moved up one. So we lost kind of the top there, and she's now in that integrator role in our organization, which is fantastic, but it's a huge loss for us. Yeah. And so we're trying to figure things out. And so I really do feel like it's what I just told you, which was taking that Traction, taking what we can from that and getting our unit speaking some of the same language, right? Because I have all this, and I know that they know that organization, when someone thinks about that, like, they know that's one of my superpowers. They don't, and I tell people, but you know, not everyone is going to dive in at the level that I do. And I know that. So it's like, I offer and then they do whatever. you know.
So So one suggestion I would have, and something I do, is that I have a Friday workbox that sits behind me at my home office. And then I use the portable Sunday basket for all my actionable workbox related slash pockets for the quarter. And so at the beginning of a quarter, at the end of a quarter, I pull them all together. And then I realistically ask myself, what are we actionably going to get done in the next 13 weeks in the company?
Right.
And if it's not a project before July, it's over in that box behind me at home. And I'm carrying back and forth in my portable the things that are actionable. So maybe there are some of those purples that are going to end up being not actionable. So the CEUs and the teacher workbox were in my portable because we were going to try to get that done by July. And I was like, you guys, we're not going to be able to get this done. They're like, thank goodness you finally realized that's not even going to happen for like a year. So it went back in the box. It doesn't mean that we're not doing it. It just means right. that, like you said, realistically, you cannot get that many purples done. Like, and we have a team of 15 that have all been working together and totally understand all these systems, but there's just a limit to the amount that you can do in a short amount of time. And if you limit the amount that you do, you get them done better and all the way to 110%. So you don't have to go back and redo them later.
Right, right. But I need everyone in my unit to be thinking that way.
That's right.
And I think that traction might help us get there instead of me just saying, this is what we need to do.
Yes, yes.
You offer a resource, we interact around it, and then figure out how we can row our boat.
This has been so great. Before we leave, what advice would you give to someone that is just starting out?
Stay with it. Protect the time on your calendar. So like this Friday, well, let's say you're going to be out of the office on a Friday. You know, make sure that you move that recurring appointment that you set on your calendar to do your planning time. Move it around, shuffle it around, protect that time so that you are really working that habit every week. And if it doesn't take the whole time, great. It's low tide right now. You know, when the tide rolls in, it might take more than the allotted time.
Yep.
And just kind of learning those rhythms and being okay with that. You know, I guess it's finding that right tension between relax, but also like do it. Don't relax so much you don't do it.
You people know what you needed to take out of what she just said.
Teacher, Lisa. That's I'm a dietitian. Remember, like we're gonna go eat a healthy lunch after this.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. This has been such a great discussion.
Thanks, Lisa. I really enjoyed it.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.